This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Eric Halterman from rotowire.com. Eric stepping in for our guy Jeff Erickson on vacation this week. We'll have some Eric. We'll have some Brandon Kravitz helping us out here on Prop Points. We got a great show coming your way over the next 60 minutes. Of course, it is Major League Baseball trade deadline day. We are 5 hours away from that 6 p.m. Eastern deadline. We'll recap a slew of trades that have come through over the last 24 hours or so, including a handful earlier this morning. Our friend Keith Irizarry is going to stop by. We'll talk some trade deadline with him. We'll get some plays for the Monday MLB card. Play a game of Rate That Prop, looking at some of Eric's favorite player props, as well as some NFL player futures. And then we'll get Eric's full slate breakdown for that Monday MLB card later in the show. As always, make sure you're listening, you're downloading Prop Points in podcast form. You can find us on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And also make sure you get your copy of the VSiN 2026 College Football Betting Guide. It's officially available over at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's included if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. So again, go check that out. Officially available. Our guy Adam Burke, the whole VSiN staff, did great work putting together that College Football Betting Guide. Eric, let's not delay it any longer. We got to talk Tarik Skubal. He, of course, winds up with the LA Dodgers over the weekend. I would say worst case scenario outcome as I sit here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, I did make up my mind, Eric, that I didn't want the Brewers to put all the prospects on the table for Skubal. I was aware that this was a potential outcome, but still, seeing that notification, seeing Skubal end up with the LA Dodgers, this feels like we've officially reached, or maybe have moved beyond, the KD Warriors as far as just the assemblage of talent, what that rotation is going to look like in LA when all five starters are healthy. But let's look at the compensation that ended up going back to Detroit in this deal. So outfield prospects, I hear hope. Number 34 prospect per our guy, James Anderson, over at rotowire.com. They get a pitching prospect, River Ryan. He's the Dodgers' number 7 prospect. He's number 142. Then another pitcher in Brady Smith. So is this a fair package? Do you think it could have been beaten by some of these other contenders? Your overall reaction to Tarik Skubal, LA Dodger, who will make his debut, by the way, tomorrow night at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, it is a unsurprising move, as you suggested. I think most of us saw the Dodgers as the likely favorites here. A lot of complaining about that from MLB fans from the rest of the country. I think it's pretty cool to see that we're alive at the same time as one of the best baseball teams ever assembled. And because baseball is the way it is, because the playoffs are still really quite random, I think it's still going to be quite a fun tournament to watch, even with the Dodgers being this good. I mean, remember, the Blue Jays were just inches away from beating them last year. I think it's going to be an outstanding postseason. I think it makes all the sense in the world that the Dodgers were the team to go for Skubal here, because they know they're going to be in the postseason and they feel better than anybody else that they're going to be in the World Series. So it makes sense for them to push some chips in for a rental. The thing that surprised me about this deal was how early it happens. The main thing you see at the trade deadline is MLB GMs are just like you and me. They wait until the very last minute to get all their work done. But this deal was actually a couple days early. And could the Tigers have gotten a little bit more if they went right down to the wire? This deal seems like they got a pretty reasonable return. I do like the prospects, Hope and Ryan in particular, but it doesn't feel like a return that blows you away. And you do wonder, could they have tried to get the bidding even higher? On the other hand, the fact that the return isn't huge could mean that teams are still a little bit worried about Tarik Skubal's medicals. Of course, he did have elbow surgery this year to clean up a loose body singular from his arm. Maybe teams are still a little bit worried about that, or maybe these prospects are a little bit more highly rated by the Tigers and by the industry than they are by fans. Hope is a good prospect, certainly. Ryan is in such a weird position because he's nearly 28 years old, but is still really a prospect. He's somebody who came to pitching quite late in his career. And then Smith has some good strikeout numbers, at least this year, so he could be rising and is more highly rated by the Tigers and by the league than he is on public-facing lists. So either this return is a little bit better than it looks, or maybe the Tigers missed out by not holding out an extra day or two.
Tarik Skubal, since returning from that injury, 2.87 ERA, 0.88 whip, 71 strikeouts, 8 walks in 9 starts. So certainly regaining that Cy Young form. And we're looking at a Dodgers rotation, Eric, that on paper, when healthy, will be Skubal, Yamamoto, Otani, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow. And again, Snell and Glasnow both currently on the IL. Could see Snell back in the next week or so. Glasnow probably a little bit later in August. But that is going to be a daunting rotation, to say the least, to have to face in a playoff series. Dodgers, by the way, down to +150 to win the World Series at DraftKings. Had been hovering around 2-1 heading into the weekend. Did get swept at home by the Boston Red Sox. But again, we'll see Tarik Skubal making his Dodgers debut tomorrow night at Wrigley Field. We'll talk a little bit more about that deal with Keith Irizarry later in the show. Eric, Freddie Peralta is on the move. Once again, was a member of the Milwaukee Brewers last year, was coming off of the best season of his career. Did not go quite so well for the New York Mets, who definitely took a loss on this deal. Remember, New York gave up Jett Williams and Brandon Sproat, who are, contributors for this Milwaukee Brewers team, just to acquire Freddie Peralta. And I do like this move for the Tampa Bay Rays to buy low on Peralta. They didn't have to give up much of a haul. Obviously, Peralta in the final year of his deal, and that's a little bit a part of it. But we've seen a much better version of Freddie Peralta the last several years, not just last season. I don't know if it was the expectations with the New York Mets. I don't know if it was just getting out of that Brewers system, but this is one, there was some smoke around Milwaukee, maybe reacquiring Freddie Peralta, seeing if they could slide him back into that rotation. That's one I would have signed off on, especially for the cost that we ended up seeing heading back to the Mets in this deal. So what did you make of Freddie Peralta heading to the Rays? What do you expect to see from him down the stretch?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one because Peralta has legitimately gotten worse this year. This is not the case that you sometimes see where a pitcher's ERA jumps, but you look under the hood and they're still fine. He might not deserve his 4.99 ERA, but say Sierra, one of the best ERA estimators, that has him at 4.30. That is well above his career mark of 3.68. His strikeouts are way down. He averages a 29% strikeout rate for his career. He's down to 22% this year. And he's somebody who needs to miss bats because he's always had pretty shaky control. The control hasn't gotten worse this season, but if you have below average control and suddenly below average stuff, which is what Stuff Plus has him at, a career low in that metric as well, you're suddenly not a very good pitcher. So this is the Rays definitely betting on themselves, betting on their well-known ability to get the most out of their players. I think they have as good a chance as any organization at doing that, and there's a real chance that Freddie Peralta is a frontline starter for them in October. But the guy he's been this year is not that. And he is 30 years old. Guys do decline. It's possible the Rays are getting a declining pitcher for just 2 months, and the price may end up looking pretty fair.
Folks, you want to bet smarter this season? Then you need everything we have to offer at rotowire.com, including our brand new Smart Money tool, which shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff gives you rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at checkout, 15% off any of our RotoWire subscription plans. Again, that's rotowire.com, and make sure you're using that code V-S-I-N. We'll update you on a couple deals that came through earlier this morning in Major League Baseball. The Guardians reportedly acquiring Joe Adell from the LA Angels, catching prospect Jacob Cozart heading to the Angels in that deal. Adell hitting .239, 16 homers, 62 RBI on the year. Mariners reportedly acquiring Taylor Ward from the Orioles. Ward, another former Angel. Luis Arraez heading to Philadelphia from the San Francisco Giants. But one that I do want to ask you a little bit more about, Eric, is the Washington Nationals sending Luis Garcia Jr. to the New York Yankees. 4 pitching prospects going back to the Nats in this deal. And Luis Garcia, one of the breakouts of the year, 23 homers, 76 RBI, 560 slugging percentage, which leads Major League Baseball. He's under team control through 2027. So what did you make of this deal for the Yankees?
Yeah, I think it's a good deal for the Yankees. I think Garcia is a player who we've been seeing signs of what could come for years. This is somebody who debuted actually back in 2020 as a 20-year-old and wasn't an above-average hitter until his fifth season in the league. But there were signs, like I said, and now there seems to be a full package here. Garcia is now somebody who's hitting for average and hitting for power. And based on the underlying numbers, I would expect that to continue. I think this is a very good get for the Yankees. It's a confusing move for the Nationals, who are on the fringes of the race still, and they've improved enough this year that you'd certainly think they would expect to contend next year. I know Garcia only has a year and a half left, and if you're thinking about optimizing your winning chances over the next decade, all right, maybe dealing a year and a half of Garcia for four pitchers, maybe that makes sense, but this is a team that, if I was a Nationals fan, I would hope that we're still playing meaningful games in late September this year, and I would hope we're doing the same next year, and Luis Garcia Jr. could have been a pretty big part of that. I think these teams in the middle, where they're just hanging on at the back of the race and they didn't necessarily expect to be there this year, trying to figure out what they're going to do in the next few hours is going to be very interesting. I wanted all of them to go for it because it's fun to see everybody try to go for it, but the Nationals seem like they're maybe checking out on the remainder of this season.
Do you wonder if we see CJ Abrams moved before that 6 p.m. Eastern deadline? Starting to feel like probably not if you're reading the tea leaves there, but you also have to wonder, five-game losing streak heading into the week for the Washington Nationals. Did that come at the wrong time? Did that influence how they look at this team the rest of the way? And that's currently 4.5 back of that final wildcard spot in the National League. We'll talk more Major League Baseball. We'll talk more Major League Baseball trade deadline when we come back. Keith Irizarry from MLB Network going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. More prop points coming your way next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Nick Whale and Eric Halterman hanging out with you, keeping an eye on all things MLB trade deadline. We're a little under 5 hours away from that deadline hitting. 6 p.m. Eastern is pencils down in Major League Baseball. We got a friend, Keith Irizarry from MLB Network. You can also find him on NHL Network, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you give him a follow at Keith Irizarry. Keith, I know you have some plays for the Monday card that we want to get to, but first got to talk a little bit about the trade deadline. And look, Eric and I, we kind of covered the nuts and bolts of the Tarik Skubal deal earlier in the show, the return for the Detroit Tigers and, you know, what that Dodgers rotation is going to look like the rest of the way. But that's not even the headliner, right? Because there is almost a philosophical debate, and it feels like it happens every year now with the LA Dodgers as they keep adding and adding to this team. You know, Eric made the point, it's fun to see so many guys stacked on one roster. It feels like you're watching an all-star team night in and night out in LA. But at the same time, you can see the argument for why this is not ideal from a competitive balance standpoint. So where do you come in when you see the Dodgers adding yet another star player in Tarik Skubal?
So good to be with you, boys. And all right, so let's take a step back for a second. So I grew up in New York, grew up a Yankee fan as a child, right? So I loved the evil empire of the Yankees. I loved watching what they were doing when Steinbrenner was there and was running things and spending money like crazy. I was a kid during that, right? Now as an adult and working for MLB Network and working in the baseball landscape for the last 20 some odd years, there's a part of me that says it's not great for baseball. That part is the part that doesn't want a lockout next season, and that affects my livelihood and affects the fact that I love watching the sport of baseball. If I'm being the cooler head prevailing guy, and that's what I'd like to be, and I try to do that on my radio and TV shows, The Dodgers aren't doing anything wrong. Everyone that's upset about this is just jealous that their teams aren't doing it. Listen, I cover the Mets day in and day out for SNY. They spent money like crazy. It just doesn't work for them. It hasn't worked for them and seemingly doesn't seem like it ever will. So if you're a Dodgers fan, you're ecstatic. If you're a baseball fan, you're jealous of these Dodgers. They're within all the rights, all the rules. They're not breaking any rules whatsoever. They're deferring boatloads of money. Does it hurt the competitive balance? Of course it does. Do we all feel like the Dodgers are probably going to win their third consecutive? Probably. But they're not doing anything wrong. And like Eric said, it is kind of fun to have a team to root against if you're one of the other, you know, 29 teams.
Keith, one of the teams that will be trying to chase down the Dodgers in the National League is my Phillies, who just made a trade this morning to acquire Luis Arraez from the Giants. And I need an outsider objective look at this one because I am very confused about this one as a Phillies fan. A lot of the talk around Phillies media was that the team really needed a right-handed outfielder. And you know who moved also this morning? Taylor Ward and Joe Adele. Yet it's Luis Arraez, a left-handed infielder, who the Phillies get. They probably get an outfielder out of this if they move Bryce Harper back out to the outfield at age 33, which is not something you see too often. A confusing deal, but is it also a useful deal for the Phillies?
So I think both can be correct. I honestly thought Joe Adele was going to be the perfect fit for Philadelphia. I thought that he might be on the move. I thought the Phillies would go after him. Obviously, they didn't. They went after Arraez instead. So I think you're right. I think what you'll see is Bryce Harper will go back to the outfield. You get Arraez over to first. Then you'll probably see Stott moving from second to third. Bohm might go over to first at times. Like, there's a lot of shuffling around with that lineup that you can do. You're getting a guy in Arraez that has, what, won three batting titles. He leads the NL in batting again this year. He is not your analytical darling because he's not hitting home runs. He's not striking out. He's just getting the ball into play and getting singles. So from a fantasy baseball standpoint, no one really loves him. From an analytical standpoint, a lot of people don't love him. But I think the guy can really help the Phillies. And if you're looking at the Philadelphia Phillies, they've been so up and down this season. They needed a jolt. You heard Bryce Harper go to the media world and say that they need help. And they immediately went out and did it. I think this is a good move. Does it bridge the gap too much to the Dodgers? Probably not. But again, like you guys opened the segment, we still have, you know, 5.5 hours until the end of the deadline. I don't know if they make more moves. They probably should, though.
Philly's currently 18-1 at DraftKings to win the World Series, plus 750 to chase down the Atlanta Braves in the NL East. Keith, let's transition over to some of your plays for the Monday slate, and we will start with the Philadelphia Phillies. They are home for the Nationals, Aaron Nola on the hill, Trevor Williams on the other side, and a couple hitting props you're looking at in this game.
Yeah, I like two here. Let's go with a Philly one first. It's Trey Turner, who's hitting as well as of late, a four-game hitting streak. Go over the 1.5 total bases here. Minus 125 is the price that I locked it in at. Two or more bases in three of his last four games. I do think that the Phillies will start breaking out a little bit. Now, my other prop, obviously contingent on the dude not getting traded, it's CJ Abrams. You guys in the past segment were just talking about it. I'm leaning towards him not being dealt. I think he's going to stay with the Washington Nationals. So if he's there, we'll go with the Herbie play. I like to call it that. The over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs at minus 130. Good numbers against Nola in his career. Nola is giving up a 41.5% hard hit rate over the last 30 days. So that's a good thing for CJ Abrams, who can rake a little bit. Also, Nola has given up at least one home run in four consecutive starts and seven total home runs over those last four starts. So you might even put a sprinkle in a home run for Abrams, but I'll play it safer. I'll go minus 125 for the total bases on Trey Turner, minus 130 for the Herbie play on CJ Abrams.
I like the Herbie. That's a new one for me. That's a good one. I've always just called that one the good game prop. You always have a good game.
Ooh, I like
if you're
that
over
too.
1.5 homers, yeah, plus runs plus RBI. Another good game tonight is going to feature AL Cy Young favorite Cam Schlittler. His Yankees are hosting Michael McGreevy and the Cardinals. Do you have anything on Schlittler for this one, or are you looking on the offensive side of things?
So I'm going to go on the offensive side of things. And, you know, you guys do this sometimes too. Sometimes there's a dart throw. Sometimes you just have a little bit of a gut feel here and you look at a price and you go, I feel like this works with the rest of my card because of what I'm playing, right? So let's go Jordan Walker over 1.5 total bases plus 115. So we'll get a plus money play in here. Most people will go, well, Schlittler, he's the AL Cy Young odds on favorite. And he's been dynamic as a, you know, pretty much the entire season. But Jordan Walker, a 5-game hitting streak, so he's hitting well as of late. 2 or more bases, back-to-back games. He's never faced Schlittler. All I'm banking on is a double here, or maybe two base hits. Something getting moving here. I want to get a plus money play on my card.
Keith, I know your play of the night in Major League Baseball comes from Blue Jays Astros. Game is in Houston. Christian Javier taking on Shane Bieber. So what do we like here?
So, by the way, I do think this is a fascinating game because I'm hearing all these rumbles about George Springer. Could he get traded today and just move back over to the Astros? That would be a fascinating move. All right, my play of the day, it's Jeremy Pena, like you said. So I looked at the hits, runs, RBIs. It was minus 170. No thank you. Not digestible for me. So I'm going to go with the total bases here. Minus 105. We're going to put a sprinkle on a home run as well at 6-1 odds is where I got it. So plus 600. Good numbers in his career against Bieber. 1-3, minimal there, a double. Bieber has struggled this year against righties. I like that for Pena. 4 home runs for Pena over his last 10 games. 4 consecutive games, 2 or more bases. I love that. 2 or more bases in 11 of his last 12 games. And a partridge and a pear tree. 14-game hitting streak. He's batting .433 during that. I just love everything about Jeremy Pena right now. So let's rock with Pena. Like I said, there's a lot of different avenues you can go there. We'll go total bases and a little sprinkle on a home run.
Definitely makes sense to look at the offensive side in a Shane Bieber versus Christian Javier matchup, the way those two guys are looking right now. I'm guessing the same might be true for Pirates at Brewers, Bubba Chandler versus Brandon Sproat. You got another hitter prop there?
Yeah, we'll go Bryce Turang here again. The hits, the runs, the RBIs go over 1.5 at minus 135 against Chandler. Turang is 3-6, 1 extra base hit. Also, if you're catching my trend here, I'm looking for streaking players. I'm going to ride hot bats here. Bryce Turang also has a 5-game hitting streak and has topped this prop 3 of his last 5 games and 6 of his last 9 games. So again, we're riding some streaks today. See if these guys can remain hot. If they don't, we flip to some other players. If they do, we continue rolling it over.
All right, Keith, let's finish out with one more play. You have a home run prop in Rays Rockies tonight.
I always feel like you can rock with Junior Caminero plus 255. You're getting a decent value here because Caminero only 1 home run over his last 10 games, but 2 home runs in his career against Lorenzen. So all I'm asking for is 2 at-bats against Lorenzen. I'm getting 1 home run here, and we're going to cash in at plus 255. Let's go with Junior Caminero.
There we have it. No qualms for me. Take a Caminero at Coors Field tonight. Great stuff, as always, from our friend Keith Irizarry. Again, give him a follow at Keith Irizarry on X. You can find him all over the place. MLB Network, NHL Network, SNY, as he said. And somebody we'll be leaning heavily on for some baseball plays down the stretch. When we come back, we are going to play a game of Rate That Prop here on Prop Points. We'll look at some player props for tonight in baseball. Take a look at some NFL player features as well. More Prop Points on VSiN coming your way in just a few minutes. Stick with us.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Eric Halterman back with you. It's the Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. We are, of course, with rotowire.com. We welcome in those streaming along on Sirius XM channel 158, those streaming along on YouTube TV. It's time for one of our favorite segments here on the show, and it's called Rate That Prop.
The number is posted. The verdict is next.
These guys are 11.
Let's rate that prop.
Let's play a little Rate That Prop here on Prop Points. Fittingly enough, our intrepid producer, Michael Cohen, has carefully curated some player props for the Monday baseball slate, some NFL player futures. Pretty simple stuff. We rate each prop on a scale of 1 to 5. The higher the number, the more likely we are to play that bet. So Eric, we will start on the Major League Baseball side of things. We'll do three baseball and three football. Talked a little bit about Cam Schlittler. He's on the hill for the New York Yankees tonight. So I'm going to give you Cam Schlittler, 8-plus strikeouts, getting this at plus 135. Rate that prop.
You know, I put a 3 down on our rundown. I'm torn between a 3 and a 4. I think this one is a pretty good one. The only thing that gives me hesitation is his opponents are not that easy to strike out today. The Cardinals are sitting 22nd in strikeout rate, as in the 22nd highest strikeout rate, so a top 10 best strikeout rate in the league over the last 30 days. So most pitchers would have a tough time getting to 8 strikeouts, but Cam Schlittler is not most pitchers. He has reached at least 8 strikeouts in 4 of his last 5 starts. He's been outstanding this season, AL Cy Young favorite. It's only the fact that it's the Cardinals that gives me some pause here. So somewhere between a 3 and a 4, we'll say 3, but this one I feel pretty good about.
All right, we'll take a 3 to start things off, and we will then move over to what should be one of the most fun games of the night. The Nationals paying a visit to the Philadelphia Phillies. Talked a little bit about Bryce Harper with Keith Irizarry. Could be looking at moving to the outfield with that Luis Arraez addition earlier this morning. But for tonight's purposes, Eric, Bryce Harper, just to record an RBI, over 0.5 RBI, that's plus 128 over at DraftKings. Rate that prop.
I would also go around a 3 for this one, but this is a much worse 3 than the Schlittler. Do we do decimals? This one's a 2.6. The other one's a 3.4, something like that. Anyway, point is Bryce Harper. The main thing against this one is that the Nationals are going to use a lefty starter, Andrew Alvarez, and Harper is not great against lefties. He has struggled against them to a tune of a 649 OPS this year. But Alvarez won't be in there all game. The Nationals have a pretty weak bullpen, and Harper's been hitting pretty well lately. So I think he has a pretty reasonable chance, and with some plus money on this one, I don't think it's a bad bet, but I do wish it wasn't against a left-handed starter.
Let's head over to the American League, where we have the Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Houston Astros. We are going to look at who has been the best hitter for that Astros team this season. Eric, Yordan Alvarez, home run tonight, plus 278 is our price. Shane Bieber on the hill for the Blue Jays. What are we rating this one?
Yeah, this one's a 4. The only thing stopping it from being a 5 is that the odds for a home run prop are normally a lot higher than this, but there's a good reason they're normally a lot higher than this, because Yordan Alvarez is quite likely to hit a home run today. He's got 35 on the year, an outstanding 18% barrel rate. We know he's one of the best power hitters, one of the best all-around hitters in baseball. And Shane Bieber, who he's facing today, just hasn't had it this season at all. A 5.74 ERA. ERA estimators almost that high, around 5.5, a 1.63 whip. And he's had some issues with homers so far as well. In 7 starts, he's given up 2 homers per 9 innings. Bieber just does not look right, and Alvarez looks very right. So I'd call this one at least a 4.
2 threes and a 4. I think we can live with that before we transition over to some NFL player futures. Folks, fantasy football should be about more, than setting a lineup and checking a score. Fantasy Boss is the new season-long fantasy sports platform built to keep the whole league involved all season long. Commissioners get deep tools to run redraft, keeper, dynasty, best ball, guillotine, and more drafts across any sport. Players get a modern experience that makes every matchup feel bigger. Weekly recap videos turn the week into a story everyone can relive and probably argue about. Taunt videos give the trash talk a face, and Beat the Boss keeps the whole league competing all season. Everything lives in one place, from draft night through the championship. No patchwork of extra apps, no ads to battle through. Just a modern season-long fantasy platform with engagement built in. Create a new league or bring over the one you already run. Start your league free at fantasyboss.com/rotowire. Fantasy Boss, your league never felt so alive.
All right, Nick, we've got a very MLB-heavy show today, but let's get a little bit of NFL in here. Let's start with a Dak Prescott prop. Dak Prescott to go over 27.5 regular season touchdown passes. That's at an even plus 100. The Eagles fan in me says this one's about a negative 10, but the viewers don't want an Eagles fan's take. They want your informed, objective take. So how do you rate this one?
I think that would be the first negative 10 that we've ever had in Rate That Prop history. Look, I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5 here. And I think getting even money on this play is a pretty reasonable value. 30 touchdowns for Dak Prescott last year. And of course, you know, was battling through some health issues, as he often is, which is a part of the calculation for any of these season long props. But you know, it's hard to imagine Dak Prescott falling short of that 27.5 number if he starts 16 or 17 games. And look, it could be a toss up with some of these quarterbacks, especially guys who do have the history that Dak Prescott does. But I think when you dig in on the numbers here, and if you assume, you know, relatively decent health for Prescott, yeah, he was second in the NFL behind Matthew Stafford in red zone pass attempts last season, 21 touchdowns in the red zone, 17 of those came inside the 10. Matthew Stafford, by the way, had 27 passing touchdowns inside the 10-yard line, which is the Davante Adams effect. But when you dig a little bit deeper, Dak Prescott was not overly efficient in the red zone, only completed 55% of his passes inside the 20. I think that's a number that can improve this season. He's got really solid weapons, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, one of the best 1-2s in the NFL. You got a solid tight end in Jake Ferguson. The one thing maybe holding me back a little bit, and the reason this is not a 5, is, you know, we'll see how much improvement we get from that Cowboys defense. I think part of the reason Dak Prescott is often a 30 to 35 touchdown type of quarterback is because Dallas has had a terrible defense and it bottomed out last year. And they're playing in all these games where it feels like a race to 35. If the defense is a little bit better, if it's even middle of the pack, you know, maybe we don't see quite as much aggressiveness from this Cowboys passing game. But either way, if you're telling me, or in theory, we're saying Dak Prescott's going to get to 16 or 17 games, I'm giving this a 4 out of 5 that he can get to at least 28 passing touchdowns.
All right, so a 4 out of 5 for our first one. Next up, we've got DJ Moore, who's now Josh Allen's number one wide receiver in Buffalo. We've got him to go over 6.5 regular season receiving touchdowns. That one's at +115. Doesn't sound too hard for a wide receiver one on a good team. Do you like this one?
Look, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. So I think, no, I don't like this one. It was close to a 3 for me, but you know, we have to keep in mind DJ Moore went under this number last season in Chicago. If you look at the league at large, 17 wide receivers got to at least 7 touchdowns, which is a decent number, but you know, we're ultimately talking about on average about half the league as a wide receiver who hits that mark. Like you said, he is now the wide receiver one for who might be the best quarterback in the NFL in Josh Allen. But at the same time, you know, despite not missing any games over the last 5 seasons, DJ Moore has only gone over this number in 2 of those 5 years. He only had 11 red zone targets a year ago with the Chicago Bears, and he's in a situation now in Buffalo where he should see more red zone chances. Buffalo is near the top of the league in terms of red zone opportunities, but Josh Allen is not a high volume touchdown passer overall or in the red zone over these last few years. The Bills tend to really lean on the run with James Cook and Josh Allen himself. Maybe that changes a little bit with the new coaching regime, but there are just too many unknowns for me with DJ Moore. You know, I think the idea of him as a number one receiver for the Bills makes a lot of sense, but I kind of want to see it in practice before I'm investing in that touchdown number. Not a ton of target competition in Buffalo. I get that, especially relative to all the talent on that Bears roster, but I'm stopping at a 2 here. I'm not fired up to play the over 6.5, even at plus money for DJ Moore.
All right, quickly, we've done quarterback touchdowns, we've done receiver touchdowns. Let's do rushing touchdowns for Devon Achane to go over 5.5. Do you like that one?
To a degree. It's such a low number for a guy who is going to have insane usage as kind of the only elite player on that Dolphins roster. And, you know, getting it at +130 makes some sense. So I'll give this one a 3 out of 5, but at the same time, you know, I could really, really see this team struggling to consistently find itself in the red zone, consistently put up points. You look at players like Ashton Jeanty, Tony Pollard, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall. These were all high usage running backs for their teams a year ago. Most of those teams struggled, and all those guys ended up going under this number. And keep in mind, Devon Achane does a lot of his work as a pass catcher. So I'm going to stop at a 3. Again, 5.5 at that price, it's low enough that I'm willing to invest, but I have major, major concerns about how viable and how reliable this Dolphins offense is going to be week to week. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get all of Eric Alterman's best bets for the Monday baseball slate. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN.
cashing prop points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman, hanging out with you until the top of the hour. Close it in on about 4 hours remaining until the MLB trade deadline. More trade deadline coverage, of course, coming your way on Money Moves, starting up at about 15 minutes. Did have one deal come through in the last few minutes. The Blue Jays acquiring Josh Smith from the Texas Rangers. And another deal, not finalized yet, but certainly looks as though Adley Rutschman, all-star for the Baltimore Orioles, could be on his way to the Boston Red Sox. Buster Olney reporting that one, saying that deal basically inside the five-yard line. Some prospect talks, some medicals needing to be exchanged, but certainly looks as though Adley Rutschman could be on the move. Before we get to some plays for the Monday baseball card, folks, the wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is officially here. You can sign up for VSiN Pro right now. Get instant access to our college football betting guide. It's got previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from the sharpest minds at VSiN. Plus, you'll also get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life, Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Little Birdie told me, by the way, Matt Eumanns will be stopping by Money Moves coming up after us with some of his plays from that college football betting guide. All right, Eric. We spent the whole show talking baseball. We have not really gotten your official card yet, so let's do that now to finish things out. We will return to that Nationals-Phillies game where we get Andrew Alvarez, Aaron Nola on the hill, and you are looking at a money line play to start us off.
Yeah, I like the underdog Nationals in this one. Maybe as a Phillies fan, I've seen too many Aaron Nola games of late to ever think that they're going to win when he's on the mound. Unfortunately, he's got a 5.61 ERA, a 1.45 whip on the season. Now, he does actually have respectable, if not particularly notable, strikeout and walk rates and a perfectly fine 4.00 Sierra. But we're going on two straight years now where Nola's strikeout and walk rates and ERA estimators are all perfectly fine, but the actual ERA is terrible because when he does get hit, he gets hit very hard. Very curious to see if the Phillies might try to add a starter today to bump Nola from the playoff rotation. He looks like a number five starter at this point, not a number three or four. Meanwhile, the Nationals, they send Andrew Alvarez to the mound, who's been decent enough in a swingman role. A 4.06 ERA is backed up by his ERA estimators and his underlying numbers. And the detail that matters here is that he throws left-handed. The Phillies have really struggled against lefties, a 24th by team WRC+, which is why, as I mentioned with Keith Irizarry earlier, I'm confused why they added a left-handed bat in Luis Arias. Whether or not he is good to go in today's lineup is not going to make a difference for this one because the Phillies need more righties to help in matchups like this, and they have yet to add one. So I like the Nationals on the money line.
Cardinals-Yankees at Yankee Stadium tonight. Michael McGreevy, Cam Schlittler is our pitching matchup. Now, Eric, earlier in the show, you gave Cam Schlittler 8-plus strikeouts, a 3 out of 5 in Rate That Prop. But I know you have a different way you're more comfortable playing Schlittler tonight.
Yeah, the Cam Schlittler bet that I like better today is for him to go over 18.5 outs. You actually get plus money on that, which really confuses me. So this is basically Cam Schlittler to get a single out in the seventh inning or more. His last five starts, he's done that 4 times, and the only time he's failed is when he threw 4 1/3 against the Dodgers. Well, the Cardinals are not the Dodgers. They, in fact, are 25th. In team WRC plus against righties. They are 30th in overall offense as a team the last 30 days. That's 30th out of 30 teams. This should be a very easy matchup for Schlittler. Again, the Cardinals don't strike out that much, so the strikeout prop for Schlittler is good but not amazing, but pretty much anything else on Schlittler, for me specifically the outs, but probably the win as well. I think Schlittler is set for a very good game today against a weak Cardinals lineup.
Milwaukee Brewers coming off of a disappointing performance to conclude the weekend. A little bit of a waste of another strong start from Jacob Mizorowski, but they now welcome the Pittsburgh Pirates into Miller Park, where we'll see Bubba Chandler on the hill opposite Brandon Sproat. I know you're going right to the total here, Eric, and I love this play.
Yeah, I do not understand why the over-under set at just 8 runs for this one. It is minus money, minus 118 about is what I was seeing for the over, but I like that anyway. These offenses are fine. The Brewers have been 9th as a team the last 30 days. The Pirates a little bit below average, but Bubba Chandler and Brandon Sproat can't trust either of these guys, unfortunately. They're two talented young arms. We just have not seen that talent lead to good ERAs this year. For Chandler, it's a 4.56 ERA with a Sierra, an ERA estimator. That's about a half a run worse than that. His strikeout rate, 20%. That's below league average. A 12% walk rate. That's well above league average. He's shown flashes at times this year, but really has put together no consistent run of good form. And in his last 5 starts, it's a 4.97 ERA, right in line with those ERA estimators. 3 of those starts, too, he's gone under 5 innings. So Chandler just hasn't done it this year. Neither has Brandon Sproat, whose ERA is actually just north of 5, although he does have a 4.31 Sierra. That's better than Chandler, but it's hardly good. He's got a slightly above average strikeout rate of 24%, but that comes with far too many walks. A 12% walk rate, just like Chandler. So if there's any total walks overs that you could look at too, this might be a good game for him. Could be a bit of a slow one. I don't know if you do a game time over as well. I expect these guys to issue a lot of free passes and to exit the game early. Sproat, I know he's had a little bit better ERA recently, 3.91 over his last 5 starts. ERA estimators, though, still around 5. I don't think we've seen good form for an extended period from either of these guys.
Fun series starting up at Wrigley later tonight, and a fun pitching matchup to begin that series with Justin Wroblewski taking on Matthew Boyd, Dodgers Cubs, 8:05 p.m. Eastern start. So you just gave us a confident over in Pirates Brewers, Eric. Are we looking at this as an underplay with that total again sitting at 8?
We are as of right now, because RotoWire's lineup page, which shows the weather and the wind direction, says that the wind is blowing in. As long as that's true, I would take the under 8 runs. If you check just before the game and now the wind is blowing out, never bet an under at Wrigley while the wind is blowing out. So keep an eye on that. But the Dodgers actually have struggled at the plate over the last month. They are 23rd in team WRC+. The Cubs have been pretty good. They've been 7th. But in Justin Wroblewski, they face a pretty tough task today. He has a 2.88 ERA, which is well better than his ERA estimators, which are a little bit north of 4. He doesn't strike out a lot of batters on the season. It's a 19% strikeout rate. But in his last 4 starts, he has 7 or more strikeouts in each of them. A 37-5 strikeout to walk rate in 33 1/3 innings, a 3.24 ERA over that stretch. So I buy Wroblewski now much more than I did earlier in the year. I also buy Matthew Boyd, a 3.41 ERA on the season. He's allowed 2 total earned runs over his last 3 starts and in 7 starts since returning from the IL. You might remember he was hurt not pitching, but playing with his children, so make sure you never do that. He has a 1.93 ERA in 7 starts since returning from the IL. So I like both of these pitchers. As long as the wind is blowing in, I think we'll see an under at Wrigley Field today.
Let's get one more quick play from you, Eric, before we hand out our best bets of the night. So what do you like in Rays Rockies, where we have Ian Seymour taking on the great Michael Lorenzen at Coors Field?
Yeah, you might have to kick me off the show here because I'm going to recommend an under at Coors Field. It's just going to be the Rockies team total under 4.5 runs. You get even money on that one. Yes, they'll have a ton of help from their home park, but they have one of the worst offenses in the league, 3rd worst over the last 30 days, and they're facing a pitcher in Ian Seymour, who is quite good. It's a 4.37 ERA on the year, but the ERA estimator is nearly a run better than that, and since moving to the rotation, it's cut the ERA to 3.80, and it could be way better. An 0.97 whip, a 30% strikeout rate with a 7% walk rate. I think Ian Seymour is the real deal, and I think he'll hold the Rockies to a pretty low score today.
Eric, also looking at the over 9 in the Padres Diamondbacks. As always, you can find all of our plays posted on VSiN.com if you are indeed a VSiN Pro subscriber. Eric, let's finish it out. Best bet of the night. Where are we going?
Yeah, it's that Cam Schlittler over 18 and a half outs I talked about. I don't know why you get plus money on this one. He usually pitches into the seventh inning, and the Cardinals have been bad both against righties all season, against anybody over the last month.
I'm going back to that Phillies-Nats game. I'm stealing Keith Irizarry's term. Give me the 2+ Herbies for Dylan Cruz tonight, minus 112 over at DraftKings. Had some success against Aaron Nola throughout his career. Been hot of late, hitting .325 over the last 10 games. 3 multi-hit games in the previous series against the Phillies back in late June. And hate to pile on Aaron Nola. Has not won a start since May. 5.5 ERA over his last 11 starts. Money moves. Stormy Bonnet Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Keep it locked. You're watching VSiN.